I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight we will look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. This long section up until chapter 7, Jesus deals with anxiety. So the plan is to spend three sermons in this section. I've got three sermons ready for this section. So this will be the first sermon on. We'll cover verses 25 through 27. Before we hear God's word, let's go to Him once again in prayer. Please pray with me. Father, we praise You that the blood of the Lamb will never lose its power. We thank You, Father, that as we hear Your word read and proclaimed, we are reminded of the power of the shed blood of Christ. Father, we pray that You would bless the reading of the word and the preaching of Your word. May Your servant decrease, may that Christ may increase. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, beloved, this is God's word. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? This is God's word. This lesson in Jesus' sermon on anxiety through verse 34 is connected to the previous lessons on money, or storing up treasures on earth. In verse 25, Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious. In light of what I just said, in light of the teaching you just heard, do not be anxious. And what was that teaching? Well, you cannot serve God and money. That is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He alone is to be your master. Money is to take no hold on your heart. Make sure your eye is healthy so that your body will be full of light. And store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These are the things that we are to do. These are the things that we are to put our strength and our mind into. Our strength and the activity of our mind into. Storing up in heaven and serving God alone as our only master. And so not being anxious is tied to serving God alone, serving God with all of your being. Now, three times in this section, Jesus says, do not be anxious. Verse 25, he says, do not be anxious. Verse 31, he says, do not be anxious. Verse 34, he says, do not be anxious. So three times he says this phrase or gives this command. And that is to say, when he says, do not be anxious, he's saying, do not be overly concerned about these things. Do not fret about these things. Do not let your mind spend a lot of time thinking about this. Don't be consumed in your thoughts about thinking about these things. And that is what anxiety is. It is fixating your thoughts and emotions on a particular thing and worrying intensely about the outcome or the possible outcome. That is what anxiety is. Fixing your thoughts in an unhealthy manner on one particular thing and staying there, letting those thoughts take over your emotions and take over your thinking. And to put it another way, it is being afraid that something bad will happen. That is what it means to be anxious. You're afraid about something bad happening to you. In fact, our word anxiety, the word anxiety, comes from a Latin word that means fear. And so when you think of anxiety, you should think of being afraid about some possible outcome. The people who are anxious in this section are afraid that they will not be properly clothed or fed. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, that is, their anxiety, their overthinking causes them to say to themselves, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? That's what they're concerned about. They're thinking about a possible future where they won't be clothed and they won't be fed. And so they're fearful. They have anxiety about the future. And so in a sense then, they are afraid. They are afraid that at some point in the future, they will go hungry and naked. That's what they are afraid of. Now, I find this section intriguing. If you think about what we've learned from Jesus so far, we can easily understand the command not to murder. We can easily understand the command not to harbor anger in your heart. We can easily understand the commands to be reconciled to our brothers, or we easily understand the instructions about looking sinfully upon a woman and swearing oaths falsely. We get that. We know that we shouldn't do that. But anxiety, don't be anxious. Anxiety seems like something that just happens to you. Like, it seems like something that you don't have any control over, like a common cold or like a headache. But Jesus is saying, do not be anxious. Jesus clearly says, though, here, do not be anxious about these things. We may think that about anxiety on some level, and this is what we'll talk about tonight. But this is very clear from Jesus that we need not be anxious, or we should not be anxious. If we do overthink, and if we do worry, and if we are afraid about negative outcomes, if we become anxious, then in a very real sense, our anxiety is a form of disobedience to Jesus' words here. We can very much consider any time that we get anxious about some possible future, some possible outcome where God doesn't take care of us and we become afraid, that is a form of disobedience to Christ. Now, people in our day, though, we have to recognize, are treated medically for anxiety. Some of us can't imagine living a life free from anxiety. How are we to think about, then, properly about all of these things? If this is a command from Jesus that we are to obey, and yet we know that anxiety is a problem, and people all actually have to take prescribed medicine to help them with their anxiety. How do we think properly about all of this? How do we think properly about this? Well, that's what we'll seek to hopefully answer tonight and in the coming weeks. Well, I do think on some level, if we want to take Jesus' command here seriously, having anxiety or being anxious about these things is something that Christians can control. If we take Jesus' word seriously, this is something that we can control to a certain level. On some level, anxiety is a choice. It is a choice that you make to be afraid, to let your thoughts go to places that they should not go or places that they should not stay. How is this a choice? Well, notice how Jesus connects being anxious with what was said before this. He says, "Therefore I tell you." And before he said, "You cannot serve God and money. God is your master. You must serve him alone." Jesus is heading towards his main theme of this section, which is found in verse 33, which is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is where your mind is to be. That is where your energy is to be deposited into seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, Christians must fix their hearts and their minds, their eyes, all of their being upon God as their master and serving him. That is where your thoughts are to be directed, on serving God alone, serving God as your only master. Now think about it. Anxiety occurs primarily in your mind, does it not? That is where it begins. That is where the fear begins to breed in your thinking. You begin to think about tomorrow, the future. You think about your life, and that is what Jesus mentions here. Your life, verse 25, is your life not more than clothing and food? These people who are afraid are thinking about their life. So life here is referred to, he's referring to all that we need to live on this earth, our daily bread, food and clothing. That's what we need to live. Now, this would be an important lesson for Jesus' disciples here, because he would later send them out, these disciples who are sitting at his feet, who were listening to his words, those same disciples he would send out to preach and to perform miracles. And he would tell them, do not take anything with you, for the laborer deserves his wages. They were to depend upon the free giving of the church, the free giving of those to whom they preach, those to whom they minister, and the providence of God to provide for them. And so this is an important lesson for his disciples to hear as they're preaching in the region of Jerusalem and throughout Israel. They shouldn't be afraid about what they would wear, what they would eat. They needed to focus on preaching and miracles and know and trust that the Lord would provide for them through the people of God as they went. A laborer deserves his wages. In other words, they were not to put their trust in money. They were not to put their trust in their own strength, their own wisdom, their own ability, ultimately, to provide for themselves. They were to fully trust in God, their Father, and God as their master to provide for them. That is what they were to do, the disciples, at least initially, when they were sent out to preach. They were to trust that they would be provided for. They needed to focus on preaching the word. They needed to focus on the ministry of the gospel. And as they did that, trust that God would provide for them. But of course, this lesson is for all of us. And this is what we are all called to do, to trust in God as our Father and not be anxious about tomorrow. If you think about this, this is what little children do. Little children with loving fathers and mothers, they do not wake up each day worrying about being fed or worrying about where their clothes are going to come from. They don't think about these things. They simply know that mom and dad will provide for them. They're not anxious about it. And so we are called here not to let our minds travel in this direction. We are to be like children in this sense, in regard to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We are to fully trust Him that He will provide all of our needs. And so we are not to let our minds travel in this direction, worrying, unnecessarily fretting about an imaginary future where you go hungry and naked, where God just decides to desert you and leave you without your basic needs. That is what we are not to do. We aren't to let our minds go there. Now, that kind of thinking can lead people to do all sorts of foolish things. They may think that they will be neglected in the future, and so they have to do something now. And one of those things that they might do is attempt to gain the world or gain the treasures on earth, pile up for themselves treasures on earth, and in so doing, they lose their soul. And that is what Jesus said. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Why does he do that? Well, on some level, he's afraid about the future. He's afraid about his life. And so thinking about these things, letting our minds go there, it can cause us to do foolish things, to make foolish decisions. Now, just to be clear, I do believe that on some level, if you continually let your thoughts become fixated on possible negative outcomes, or if you put your ultimate trust in money or in your own power, your own wisdom, that is where your ultimate trust is, the things of this world, and then if you do that, and by so doing, you become anxious, I do believe on some level you are sinning. Do not be anxious. If you allow your thinking to go to those places and then work yourself up into a state of anxiety, you are sinning on some level. At the same time, though, I do think that there is something to be said about what Cornelius Van Til called the noetic effects of sin. Now, that's just a fancy way of saying that our minds are broken. If anxiety occurs primarily in the mind, we have to recognize that our minds are broken because of sin. Some of us are born with broken bodies, or our bodies become broken over time. This is all because of sin. It's all because of the effects of sin. Some of us, and really, we're born with broken minds. Our minds don't think properly. Our minds are supposed to think God's thoughts after Him. That's another quote from Cornelius Van Til. We are supposed to think God's thoughts after Him, but we don't always do that. Our minds are broken. It's part of the effects of sin. Because of sin, we do not think properly. And with this in mind, some of us may need a little more help with this command to not be anxious. That is where you get into the area of medication and prescribed help, professional help with anxiety. And so I do think also that on some level, some of us deal with this problem in a more pronounced way than others. Some of us need more grace. Some of us need a little extra help with this command not to be anxious. But it's here. Do not be anxious. And it's the call to everybody. And it comes directly from Jesus' mouth. So we need to pay attention. And by God's grace, we need to try to obey him, to listen to him, and to not be anxious. Now, Jesus mentions two types of existences here for believers. The first is life in the body on this earth in this present age. He says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, eating, drinking, and clothing. At the end of verse 27, he mentions your span of life. That is the amount, the number of years that you are given on this earth. That is one existence that we live as Christians, as a period of time on this earth where we need food and clothing throughout the whole time. The age of a person's life beginning to end on, in this present age. Now, it's interesting that Jesus mentions this because this is why we are anxious, right? We worry about this life, this existence. We worry that in this existence, we won't have what we need in order to perpetuate our existence. We think that our existence in this age will come to an end, and that's why we worry. We become afraid. We begin to foolishly think that if we think hard enough on how not to die, if we think hard enough on how long our lives, maybe we can actually add an hour to the end of our life if we think about it long enough. That's how we get to be anxious. That is how we get to be afraid. That's the process that happens in our thinking. But Jesus confirms here what the rest of the Bible teaches, that God alone gives life. God sustains life and he takes it away according to his will. The answer to Jesus' question in verse 27, Jesus asks this question, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Which of you can add a single hour to the length of days that you are given on this earth? The answer, of course, is no one. None of you can. None of you are able to add a single hour to the end of your life or in this life by being anxious. No one can prolong his life even 1 hour by worrying, by being afraid. In fact, no one can ultimately prolong his life 1 hour in any way at all. Now, we are responsible for how we live. We are responsible for how we treat our bodies. But the number of days, and if you abuse your body, then it might be the case that you won't live on this life, won't live on this earth very long. So we are responsible for how we treat our bodies and how we take care of ourselves. But the number of days and years and even hours that each one of us gets to live on this earth has been permanently fixed by God. So not only can you not add an hour to your span of life by worrying, you can't even add an hour to your span of life in any other way whatsoever. And that's what Jesus wants us to remember. This is from Psalm 139. The psalmist says this to God, In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none. Every single one of our days have already been written in God's book. And so it's foolish to think that somehow we can prolong our life, and especially to think that we can prolong our life by worrying. And so again, it's foolish for Christians, with God as their Father, to be afraid about being provided for. To bring this home in our minds and hearts, Jesus would have us learn a lesson here in this first section from irrational creatures. He points to the animals in this world who do not have the ability to think or reason, to know God. They are not made in the image of God. And yet they display a greater understanding of Jesus' words here about anxiety. He says, look at the birds. That is, consider them. Look at the birds. Take time to see what they do and consider them. Let your mind go there. Learn from them. Instead of worrying about the future, stop and consider the birds of the air. They too need food. They too need food to live. But they are never anxious. Birds are never anxious. They are not afraid. Why? Because God feeds them. They don't think twice about it. God gives them the food. And so they are not anxious. Jesus also points to one of the differences between birds and men, and that is the way they get food. Men get food by toiling, sowing, reaping, and storing, gathering into barns. This would have been the typical first century method of providing for oneself, providing for one's family. In our day, he might have said something like this: birds do not log into their computer 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Birds do not sell products. They don't work in a grocery store or a clothing store. They don't have a bank account. They don't have a savings account. That is the point that Jesus is making. Look at the birds. They need food. And God feeds them, and yet they are never anxious. They neither toil nor reap. They neither gather into barns like men have to do, and yet they are never anxious. Our Heavenly Father feeds them continuously, day by day. Now, as we're thinking about the birds, this doesn't mean that some birds never die. Some birds do die. They do often fall to the ground. But even then, when a sparrow falls to the ground, it's according to the will of God. Not one bird falls to the ground apart from the will of the Father. Now, this also does not mean that birds don't have to do anything at all to get food. They do. In fact, they work very hard to find food. Birds work very hard to find worms in the ground. Predatorial birds work very hard. They have to be very patient and wait until a little rodent or small animal walks in front of their line of vision and they scoop down to pick it up. And so birds do have to take part in some kind of activity to get their food, but they are never anxious. They are never fearful about the day's needs to sustain their life. The point Jesus makes here is that in all of their activity, that is the birds, created things of God that do not have minds like ours, they can't think and reason, they're not made in the image of God. In all of their activity to provide for themselves, they are not anxious. And so we, as beings made in the image of God in this way, by seeking to not be anxious, we are to be like the birds. That's what Jesus is saying. It's this kind of humbling thing to hear from Jesus. But that is what we are like, to consider the birds, to recognize that God feeds them day by day without fail, and they are never anxious. Will he not feed you? Will he not feed us? That's the logic of Jesus' teaching. Now, Jesus is gentle with us. He knows his disciples were weak. Those disciples who were listening to him, he knows they're weak. He knows that we are weak. We slip up. We become anxious. We often avoid focusing on our own work, and we begin to let our mind think about the future. Instead of focusing on what God has put before us each day and accomplishing that, we let our minds go to the future, and we begin to think and worry about our future, about our children, and we begin to get fearful, and that happens. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that we are weak, and we often slip up in this way. And so instead of focusing on worrying, he gives us a further incentive to do something else besides worrying. He also talks about other differences between us and the birds. And this is the second existence that we referred to earlier in the sermon. Jesus talks about the two existences of man. One is this life. How many of you can add a single hour to his span of life? Is life not more than food? There is a sense in which this life has an existence all of its own. We need food and clothing to live, and it's the life we live in this age, on this world. But here there is a difference between, again, a difference between us and the birds, and it points to the second existence that we have as God's children. He points to a higher life than a life of simply eating and living. And he also points to our value in our Father's eyes in comparison to the birds. And this he gives to us as a further incentive not to be anxious. Verse 25, he says, "Is not life and body more than food and clothing?" To put it another way, Jesus reminds us that there is in fact more to being a child of God than this, just this life. There is more. There is a higher life, a higher existence that we look forward to, that we participate in now in an initial level, but we look forward to a higher life, a higher form of existence as followers of Christ than living the life that we live today. Now, again, Jesus reminds us here that our lives and our bodies are destined for something better, something greater than the best that can be offered in this life. A higher life is in store for us, and that is resurrection life with Christ and our Father in the new kingdom forever, in the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever. That is the higher life. That is the life we look forward to. That is the life that Jesus will bring in, will consummate at the end of the age. Eternal glory in God's kingdom, body and soul. Now this life, living and dying, working and serving, gathering and worshiping, it's all done in preparation and expectation of that next life. Is life not more than food and clothing? It is. Our lives are meant for something higher. Our lives are destined for something higher as God's children, as followers of Christ. We look forward to an existence, a sinless existence, a deathless existence, glory with God. That is the existence we look forward to that we do not participate in fully today. Now, this life, that is the second life. Is life not more than food? Yes, it is. For my followers, it is. Life is more than food. There is something more than just this life that we experience on this world. But this life we live is incredibly important to God. It's incredibly important to us, to one another, and it's incredibly important to God. If it wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't be preaching this. He's concerned about your anxiety. He's concerned about how you live this life. And so this life is incredibly important, and it is so important that God feeds us, and Jesus reminds us of this. He feeds us. Our Father, in fact, delights in providing for us. He delights in providing for His children, and so He feeds us. He gives us what we need. But we were not redeemed to stay here, friends. We were not redeemed to store up treasures here. And that is something that we always need to keep in mind. Lastly, Jesus compares our value in God's eyes with the value of the birds. He says, "Are you not of more value than they?" That is the birds. And so he says, as you're bird watching and thinking about your life as a child of God, take into account the fact that the birds God feeds daily are part of a world that is passing away, whereas you will live forever. You are destined for a higher life, a life in which you have fellowship with God forever and ever in a new heavens and a new earth. The birds and everything associated with them is passing away. Remember that as you consider their activity, as you consider whether or not your Father will feed you tomorrow. Take into account this fact. The birds your Father feeds daily are not made in the image of God. We are. We have been given special privilege in this earth to reflect God's glory and His likeness as man and woman made in the image of God. The birds can't claim this status. They're not made in the image of God. They glorify God, but not in the unique, more glorious way that men and women do. But image of God, that's true for all people, even unbelievers. Even unbelievers are still made in the image of God. And so they retain that status over against the birds. But we're talking about children of God here. Jesus is speaking to you, follower of Christ. Do not be anxious. Think about your value in God's eyes. Jesus was preaching about the value of his people, you and I, followers of Christ, the value of believers. And he says this to you. He says, you, believer, are much more valuable to your Father in heaven than all the birds in all the world combined. You are much more valuable to him than they are. And they get fed daily without ever being anxious. You are infinitely more valuable. How valuable are you in God's eyes? This is what you should be thinking about. This is where your mind should go. How valuable are you in God's eyes? Well, your Father in heaven considered you to be so precious to him that he was willing to offer up his one and only Son to death to save you. That's how valuable you are. He sent his Son as a sacrifice for you. Think about that instead. Think about that instead of worrying about the future. Jesus valued you so highly that he willingly died for you to secure for you that higher resurrection life in his kingdom when he comes again. Do you not think that this Savior who did this for you will give you what you need today? He will. He will. And that is where your mind should go. The value that you have in your Father's eyes. Your Father did not send his Son to die for the birds. That is something we should think about. He sent his Son to die for you, to save you, to guarantee your resurrection life with him forever in heaven. That is something that the birds cannot claim. And yet, they're never anxious. They get fed. He will feed you. He'll feed you. Do not be anxious. If your Father loves you this much, how much more then can we be confident that he will feed us, he will clothe us in this life? And so again, Jesus says, look at the birds. They are free from anxiety. They get daily food by our Father. And then look to the cross. That is your value in your Father's eyes. Think about the cross. That was the price tag to purchase you. He will feed you. He will clothe you. And so sow, friends, reap, gather, work, save. Do all of these things, but do not be anxious. He will feed you. He will provide for you. To Christ be all praise and glory now and forevermore.